and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Astros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you on Twitter?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Strohs411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Strohs.
And we have a special guest today, Chase Headley. Clay Hensley. He is a former reliever starter. He pitched for the Astros, or you signed with the Astros for 1 year, right?
Right. Yeah, I signed with them. Was there for spring training and then exited and went to Florida.
Okay. So you were technically a former Astro, even though you didn't make an appearance, sort of, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Technically speaking, yes, I was in Kissimmee, Florida.
All right. So where can they find you on Twitter?
At C. Hensley 32.
All right. So, guys, we got a lot to talk about. The Astros were up 2-0 versus the A's. Nobody gave the Astros a fighting chance to win this series. And I know we still got one more victory to go, but the Astros have looked so dominant in the series. And it's amazing to see how they've gone from the one of the two teams in history to have a losing record to make the playoffs. Now they're dominating in the playoffs. So this is something that's new. You can get Locked On Astros on Podcast and Apple, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play the podcast, Locked On Astros. So I guess before we talk about today's game, we got to talk about the big monkey in the room, and that's Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke, after the game, it was announced that Jose Urquidy would be starting tomorrow's game. And this was kind of shocking because everybody kind of thought that Zach Greinke would get that the start. But they Dusty Baker said that he was experiencing some arm soreness. As a former pitcher, what do you think that they're referring to?
You know, what I'm hoping is, you know, that it's not something that's severe, right? I mean, obviously tendonitis and stuff like that kind of creeps up on you. The interesting thing is that I guess most people would think in a shortened season that your arm would be fresh, but in reality, it does take some time to get going, especially from a starter's point of view. And, you know, with Major League Baseball having to shorten the season this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic, it's got everybody moving outside of their norm, right? And everybody's having to make some adjustments. You're having to get ready and be in playoff shape, playoff atmosphere, with minimal starts in terms of how starters like to look at and view the season with the 162 regular game schedule. So, you know, with Greinke to not go, you know, knowing the guy and knowing, you know, this is what he likes to do and where he usually shines, even if he struggles during the season, he typically pitches well, in the postseason. So, you know, I would probably say something with the forearm, you know, the shoulders and stuff like that, you can kind of push through a little bit depending on how bad it is. In 2007, you know, I was able to pitch most of half the season, or no, 2006, excuse me, 2006, I was able to pitch most of the second half of the season with a tear in my shoulder, and then finally got to the point at the end of the year where I just couldn't take it anymore. So I think to get yanked or to not come into the start and be ready for it, I would probably say it's probably something has to do with his elbow. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, we're speculating at that point.
No, yeah, definitely. I was actually shocked when I saw that. I saw, you know, Baker's comments afterwards, and you know, that's kind of the last thing you want to hear. But honestly, with the way things have gone in Game 1 and 2, where Eric and I talked extensively about how the one thing that we felt Oakland really had an edge on the Astros going into this playoff series was their pitching, because their relievers and their starters, they've been getting the job done. They basically, I mean, you know, the starter today, Manaea, had taken a perfect game last time against the Astros until like the sixth inning. And I was like, this is going to be a low scoring game. I picked the Astros to win 3-2, but I didn't pick them to go up like they did and to stay up. And it's somewhat of an anomaly like we're seeing with Zach Greinke. I think Urquidy slides in well because he's got confidence. He's got big game experience in the World Series and playoffs and stuff like that. But at the same time, you wonder if Greinke is out, then is he going to be out just until game four? Is he going to be out until ALCS, or is he, is this going to be another long-term deal? And is that a massive blow that the Astros can't withstand?
Well, you know, I don't think that – I think it's probably too early to call right now in terms of is he going to be ready for the rest of the year going into the, you know, championship series and then, you know, and World Series and whatnot. That's – he's going to be day-to-day. And whatever the case may be, the severity of it, they're not going to be – they're going to be pretty mum about it. You know, I don't think it's going to be something they're going to open their mouths about. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that if it was a severe injury or if it was something that was pretty much season-ending – I don't think we're going to hear about it. And I think the way we would hear about it would be in the form of some kind of, I guess, petition to the commissioner to see if they're able to replace injured players on the postseason roster. I don't think you're going to have anybody from the Astros. I don't think Dusty Baker is going to come out and say that he's done. You always want to kind of keep that question mark and somewhat of a little bit of an edge, you know, at least from a mental chess game, so to speak, with the other team that he could be available. Now, this could be anything. I mean, there's so many variables that go into, you know, pulling yourself. I mean, he's also a very intelligent guy. He also wants to give his team the best opportunity to win. He could have slept on it wrong last night and knows that he's stiff and he's going to go out there, you know, with half a tank, and that doesn't do the team any good, especially whenever, you know, you're a game away from clinching the series on it. So it remains to be seen on how they're going to handle it. You know, look, Okiti, he does have, a big game experience. You know, he pitched well in the postseason last year, had, you know, I mean, as a rookie, did well. And then, you know, coming into this series and this season in general, he's throwing the ball well. And the postseason is a unique beast because it's about who's hot. It doesn't matter. And I mean, I think even now with the expanded playoff bracket, so to speak, I mean, it looks somewhat like a March Madness up there. But, you know, when you go to expand it to 16 teams, and there's a lot of ball clubs that in years past or the way the rules have been always been wrote wouldn't have gotten in, are in. You're seeing them kind of like kick it in gear and do some things that nobody expected. And that's, look, we've been wanting to do something like this in baseball for a long time. There just really hasn't been an opportunity. I'm not saying that, you know, this was like an opportunity for this particular situation where the season turned out. I think they did a great job with making the adjustment on the season and the way they did the postseason and the way they lined this up to engage the fans. Because I think with everybody, you know, around the country dealing with the pandemic and wanting sports back in the game or back in their lives and able to sit at home and watch it, you know, expanding the rosters, it's great because it gives those ball clubs that were maybe fringe clubs or clubs that wouldn't make the playoffs typically opportunities to go in and represent their city. And it's been, as a whole, it's been great to watch. It's been fun to watch. I don't know if they're going to continue with the expanded rosters going in next season, but, you know, I kind of like it because look at what we're dealing with in Houston right now with Greinke going down, five games back to back, you know, there's no off days. This is a completely different dynamic. And what it does is it allows the fans to see the entire roster. Now the adjustments have to, you know, if you started seeing some of the trends the last couple of years in the playoffs, I mean, ball clubs are going in there winning World Series with using six pitchers. And I think now with no off day, you know, back-to-back games, a must-win game tomorrow. It's interesting to see that Greinke is not feeling well enough to go out there tomorrow. I mean, this is what he plays for. And like you guys have seen him over the years. I mean, this is where he shines. Even when he doesn't have his best stuff, you know, on top of his, you know, he, you know, maybe – in the peak of his career, and obviously you're going to have a downhill slide. I mean, to do what he's done, maybe not having his best stuff, you know, that's the kind of guy that you want out there on the mound in a game like this. And, but, you know, look, Okiti understands that, you know, he knows that, he knows what he's got to do. He's got some big shoes to fill. I kind of like the move because the unknowns to me is what is basically the word that I could probably sum up the playoffs for most of the teams. You know, I mean, you look at all the ball clubs, you know, obviously you see some of the guys like, you know, New York, and you know they were going to come out swinging, you know, with such a heavy lineup. But I think the underdog ball clubs, the teams that weren't expected to do much, those are the ones that seem to me to be turning the gears on, and Houston's one of those teams. I mean, everybody knows what they can do in the playoffs. I mean, they got a good ball club, but going back with everything they had to deal with the last couple of years, you know, kind of, I guess, sort of quote-unquote off the field distraction of having to play, I think was maybe a little bit, you know, why they weren't playing to where they're capable of. I think we're seeing what Houston's capable of. I'm happy to see that too. And I think Dusty Baker was a great pick to make this come out.
Yeah, we do know that Greinke went to see a doctor, and we do know that after the game today, after the taxi squad practice, Zach Greinke did go out there with Brent Strom to kind of throw some balls and just kind of see how he felt. Then from what Chandler Rome said, and he was like stalking him, he just said, well, they're talking, they're leaning against the wall and talking, and they've been talking for about 10, 15 minutes. So is that a good thing?
Well,
he should have stuck his ear to the outfield wall to see if he heard anything, you know?
Exactly. Right. Here's the thing. I mean, and I think the ultimate trust for Astros fans lies in the fact that we just think, I mean, Brent Strom needs it. I mean, if there's a pitching coach that ever deserved a statue, I think it's Brent Strom. I mean, what this guy has done with these rookie pitchers, what he's been able to do with Martin Maldonado and help him out. Martin Maldonado has been a key part of the pitcher's success. You know, Urquidy actually pitched against Oakland on September 10th. He pitched six innings. He only gave up two earned runs. He had one strikeout, gave up one home run. He got the loss. It was his first loss on the season, but he didn't pitch horribly against them. And so the A's have seen him before, but he's got the right stuff. And I think tomorrow they go into the game and, you know, Greinke not going isn't a big blow. I mean, he's an older player. He is your ace, but you know, I think what set the tone in this series, guys, was game one. When Lance McCullers gave up three home runs, and the Astros overcame that. They right. haven't done that all season long. And I mean, when they were getting their butts kicked by the Rangers, when they were losing all those games at the end of the regular season, I mean, Eric claims that I said this, but I don't recall saying it. He said that I told him if they make it to the ALCS that I'd buy him a new computer, but I don't recall saying
that. I did see that, actually. You did say that.
Yes.
I did. Oh, on air? Oh, yes. Whatever. Wait.
I'm joking.
I was like, wait.
No, you know, I think Urquidy's a great pick. You know, like you said, he has seen the Astros. He has seen the A's. The A's have also seen him as well. But when there's not a tremendous amount of material, not a lot of content there, he did throw well, you know. And I think that from if you're sitting in the A's locker room right now, you have to go into tomorrow's game as if Cy Young's throwing. You got to be I don't think anybody over there is taking anything lightly because Greinke isn't pitching. Honestly, I would feel, if I was in the other locker room, a little more nervous with a guy like Urquidy on the mound. I think Greinke, like I said, there's so much on him. You have so much tendency on him. There again, he's not the Greinke that he was back in the day. He's still very, very highly effective, but not the same. And it's somebody that you can jump on, as we've seen a couple of times this season. Now, Urquidy, I think, is falling in that unknown category, which has kind of like been the theme of the playoffs for a lot of teams. I think that he's going to have a good game tomorrow. It's all about efficiency. You know, I think Valdez set the tone even more so for the pitching staff, for the starters today. Yeah. And that's something you want to keep carrying on. You got to keep this momentum. And that's one of the things about the five games back to back, where this is where that gets scary, because once you get a team with momentum, boom, they're off to the races. And, you know, like you said, having that comeback win and then coming back today and then throwing the way that he did, Valdez did it, and then having the two home runs. I think this team's got this reminds me of the Houston Astros of, you know, the last couple of years, especially when they went out and cleaned house a couple of years ago. So I think it's going to be scary for them tomorrow. I think scary for Oakland.
I know that you played for Dusty Baker before, and he had a quote today. He said, "I've been up 2-0 before. You got to put them away when you got a chance. If you let them get off the mat, these guys know how to win. We'd like to win it tomorrow and not get any drama in game four or game five. We know it's not done yet." And that's kind of what you're talking about right there. You don't want them to get the momentum, because if they have this comeback victory tomorrow or they win pretty big tomorrow, that will kind of lead into game four and game five. So that's basically, you just kind of confirmed what Dusty Baker said. So talk about Framber Valdez. He's somebody that I've said we need to get rid of him several times, just because he didn't look like he had any clue. I know Mike Trout said that he had one of the best curveballs in the game, and we kept on hearing that, and we're like, okay, well, when is he gonna put it forward? So what has been the biggest difference you've seen this year from him?
Well, I think that it's attacking the strike zone. And you know what he's doing a lot right now, and he did in the game today, is pitching with the fastball. You know, like a lot of younger guys will get out there and they'll start trying to throw a lot of the off-speed stuff early because they're afraid of getting that fastball hit. But he was pitching in and out, throwing with two strikes, you know, front door fastballs to righties, freezing them. That's what I like to see. And now if you look at his stuff, I mean, that's the reason why they, you know, when you were saying that, you like, you know, hey, you were talking about getting rid of him. When's this guy going to show up? I think he showed up big today. And in one of the bigger games probably of his career, you know, where it meant to keep that momentum going. I think that in and out, throwing strikes with that fastball, he was ahead of the count, like efficient, you know, which is a big piece of this. Greg Maddux taught me that, you know, whenever I was a rookie, is like, you know, everybody thinks you're so smart whenever you throw strikes, you know, kind of talking about everybody calling him the professor, but that's what he did. He threw strikes and he pounded the inside part of the plate. I don't see a lot of that anymore. You see a lot of guys always going away and always throwing their fastball down and away, then soften away. And you don't really see a lot of people getting pounded in. And it's funny now, because when you do go inside, these guys jump off the plate and act like you just try to hit them in the ear hole. And it's just the way the game's kind of transitioned. But seeing him pound the strike zone with two strikes, you know, not trying to throw just a quote unquote a bastard pitch for the guy to chase. He's going inside, pounding that zone and hitting the black. And that's what I like to see it from a pitcher.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, for Framber Valdez today, I noticed when he was getting into a little bit of trouble towards the end in the late innings, he kind of stepped off the rubber and he just like took a deep breath, like he was focusing. Yep. And he talked a lot about extensively about he basically went to a psychiatrist and worked through some mental stuff. And Eric and I have like covered this before. Last year, my son and I got to interview, you know, Belak. We got to interview Josh Rojas and another pitcher for the Astros, Colin McKee, at Round Rock. And we were talking to those guys, and Framber Valdez was pitching and Carlos Correa was still down there doing some rehab, and Valdez looked bad. Like he had like eight walks. He only had one strikeout. And I looked at my son and I was like, he doesn't look comfortable on the mound. Like he just looks like he's lost. And even when he got pulled up last year, he just looked lost. And you almost hate to see that in a young pitcher that's got so much promise ahead of him and he just can't find it. And I literally, you know, Christian Javier the other day, I was like, trust your movement over the plate. He was throwing everything to the, you know, outside, inside, outside, inside. But then when Brent Strom came out and talked to him and he started placing that fastball over the middle of the plate, he's got that movement. That ball doesn't go straight. It curves. It has
a little,
different,
got a little run to it. Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, you've got to trust your stuff over the plate because you can't always get them. I mean, these are major league hitters and you know it probably. I mean, you know more than we do. These guys know what to look for, because what is it that guys are teeing off in the playoffs right now? It's all these sliders. It's all these curveballs.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
They are taking the off speed pitches and just crushing them.
Well, I mean, look at Springer's home runs, you know, his backdoor hanging slider today falls up and out of the zone. So it's funny that you touch on that because, so, you know, I was kind of like a power sinker guy. And when the ball is moving and it's diving, the problem is from a young pitcher standpoint, and that's kind of what the big question mark, I think, was probably with a lot of even the bullpen and some even pitchers like Valdez, like you're saying, is trust your stuff out over the plate. But it's so hard to get up there and do that. When Pujols is towing in there, you know, you're like, you want me to throw this over the plate, you know, it's So that getting over that mental block, which I can completely understand him going to see a psychiatrist, because the reality of it is when you get to AAA or when you get drafted in general, you have the ability to pitch in the big leagues. That's why they drafted you. That's why you're there. Now, you know, it's learning how to pitch as you come up through the levels. And then when you get up to a certain point, like AAA and get to the big leagues, it's about how you stay. And it's all between the ears. You know, it's like you almost have to be delusionally optimistic and confident. Even if, you know, you go out there and you give up 10 runs, you're like, well, you know, I did have a good changeup, though, you know, and even though it's not really even about the changeup. It's a constantly, even in the game, you're constantly having to talk to yourself in a manner that quite honestly, it has to be coached or taught to you to do, because it's not normal human nature to get out there and tell yourself, you know, fastball down and away, throw yourself a good located ball on the black down and away. What you're usually saying is like, don't leave this over the plate, you know, and that, right. And that just little self-talk of that dynamic is so big when it goes to make that pitch. So, you know, guys like Valdez, you were down there, you saw him pitch, you know, and he was getting torn up a little bit and he just didn't look comfortable. It's because he wasn't, you know, he was still trying to figure it out. He probably had a lot of success as he kind of came through the system, then probably hit a little bit of a wall in AAA, gets called up for a little bit and then goes back. And then that's a whole nother mental dynamic, because now you just went from the show to back here and you're just like, it's being, you know, it's a blow to the ego. It's a big piece of humble pie that you have to eat. And then you got to go out there and pitch and put up numbers again to get called back up. So, you know, that dynamic is difficult. I think that it's a big difference of why guys stay and why guys get called up. And then why you sometimes don't see the true capability or talent that you see in a player. You're like, why can't he get this done? It's a lot of it's all between the ears. That was one of the things that kind of made me apprehensive or nervous about some of the Astros roster over the last like 3 or 4 years. But what also helps with that confidence is your offense going out there and scoring runs, because then everybody's having right. fun. And when you're having fun, it's a little bit easier to make that switch. And look, I mean, the reality of it is you're always going to be in the weeds out there, man. You just never be too high or too low, you know? And I think Valdez has kind of probably found some of that coaching in the offseason.
Speaking of humble pie, if you are hungry before a game and you look in your fridge and you don't have anything, you don't have any in your cabinet, why don't you just call Postmates? Postmates can deliver anything to your house while you're watching the Astros win Game 3 of the ALDS to go on to the ALCS. Anything you're craving, Postmates can deliver. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. No more trips to the store. Download the apps for iOS or Android for free. Browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. That code is LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Download Postmates and save with the code Locked On.
You know, we're talking about the mental aspect of the game, and you know, the great quote from one of the all-time greats, Yogi Berra, you know, baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical.
right.
You know, I mean, that's one thing that I learned growing up. That so what I was gonna say in that was you know, a coach told me one time, I don't know if they're still there, but the head volleyball coach at LSU was telling me that there's two different kinds of athletes in the world. There's good athletes and great athletes. And great athletes were the good athletes that were able to get over their own mistakes and get over their discouragement. And he said, and she said, that there's a lot of great athletes that never become great because they can't get past themselves. Right. And, you know, we may be seeing someone like Framber Valdez become a great pitcher. And I'm not saying like, I'm not trying to call it and jinx him or anything, but
who knows,
I
right?
think, Right. But I mean, I think if he's able to get past this and build on it, and he's that strong, and I mean, it is a big deal to have Mike Trout compliment your curveball. I mean, that's massive. I mean, he is a generational player. Right. And so the Astros are doing exactly what I said they needed to do. One of the keys to victory against the Oakland A's was their pitchers had to pitch and their hitters have to hit. And as unprofound as that statement is, it means everything, because they haven't been doing that. And they have 9 minor leaguers. They have guys that didn't even go to AAA that are pitching right. in the majors, and they are handling it like seasoned veterans. And what helps is that this is what people forget. The Astros are juggernauts in the playoffs. The Oakland A's are still the Oakland A's in the playoffs. This isn't 1989. Mark McGwire, Canseco, Dave Stewart, and Dennis Eckersley aren't on this team. This is still the Oakland A's, and they have done this in the past. They have not been able to meet the challenge and go far in the playoffs. I hate to say it. I think the Oakland A's are a scrappy team in the regular season, but come playoffs, this is the Astros game to lose tomorrow, because I believe they have a Game 3 win written all over it.
No, I would probably agree with you on that. You know, I guess the only place where I would maybe have some sort of disagreement in that assessment is that, like Baker said, you can't lay down, right? You got to go in with you got to keep the foot on the gas. I mean, this by any means is not over. Anything can happen. We've seen this happen before. It can happen in the playoffs. And if it ever is going to happen, most likely it's going to be the playoffs because everybody's really fighting for something. And look, Oakland's got to go out and they have everything on the line tomorrow, you know, so they're going at all costs. I mean, and just same to, so to speak with Houston, but you know, like if I was sitting in the Oakland locker room, you know, like this would be like, all right, you know, you would almost hear that Rocky theme song in the background of your head. You know, it's kind of like, hey, let's give him something to make a movie about. You know, Mike Cameron used to always tell me that whenever I'd come up and give up a couple runs, he's like, do something they write a story about, you know, and this is their opportunity. Is it going to happen against Astros? Personally, I don't think so, but it's going to make for a good game. I think that the overwhelming youth of Houston may be a little bit of a benefit because there also comes a level of ignorance, right? Right now they're winning and having fun. So, right. You know, there isn't a lot of salty vets out there that have dealt with the postseason, maybe making it a little too serious. These guys are out there having fun. They're having a good time. I mean, you see them high-fiving and the way they're winning ball games right now. And in my mind, look, bullpens, they win championships. And right now that bullpen's pretty strong. You know, something that may have been somewhat of a question mark in terms of not stuff or ability, but more so of having that level of experience, especially in big game situations, right, where it's all on the line and you have a lot of these guys coming out of the back end of the pen that haven't had a tremendous amount of postseason experience. That was where there might have been a question mark. I think they've probably shut everybody up on that these last few games.
So yeah. That kind of brings up something that you kind of mentioned earlier, the five games back to back, basically no days off. How do you manage a bullpen? I know before the game, Dusty Baker said that Anoli Paredes was not available, but what did he do? He came in. It was a close situation. They had to lead and Baker trusted him. Then he brought in Ryan Pressly. So that's back to back days that they use him. If the Astros have a lead in the game tomorrow in the eighth inning, are they going to do the same thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when you start the playoff atmosphere, it's like opening day. Every game is like opening day, especially whenever there were fans in the seats. But, you know, right now the Astros have a lot, you know, a lot to kind of prove it, you know, so to speak, to get the monkey off the back. And if I'm in the bullpen and we're in the playoffs, we walk in that day, manager asks, how you feeling? I'm ready to go, Skip. And then you're in. You know, he's going to ask these guys how they feel. And, you know, look, there hasn't been a tremendous amount of pitches thrown out of the bullpen. And the good thing is we do have the starters that have gone late. You know, I mean, there was a time when I was with San Fran and I went back to back to back. And then that fourth game we came in, we were playing, I believe it was New York at the time, and we're trying to get ready to clinch and are trying to get ready to make a push for the playoffs. And he goes, hey, you're down today, kid. Don't even worry about it. Don't even wear your spikes. Turns out we get into the like 13th inning and we run out of every pitcher. And he's like, Hens, you got to go, man. And, you know, we came in there, we pitched. And the point is that I was hanging, you know, 3 days in a row. And when we went in that fourth game, we ended up getting the win. I got the save on it. But the adrenaline was all kicked in, right? Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel any pain. I was ready to go. So I think that's going to be the same for a lot of these guys. I mean, these guys, there hasn't been a tremendous amount of pitches thrown in the innings. Everybody's been somewhat efficient. And, yeah, you better believe that, you know, they're going to walk in and ask how they're feeling. They're going to say they're ready to go. And, well, and Baker's going to use it.
No, yeah, I think also and you can actually speak to this from your experience. But there is talk, you know, guys like me who have never played at a high level, where we talk about like high stress level innings and low stress level innings. I mean, the game before when Pressly came in and got his first save in game one, or, you know, when he pitched in game one, it wasn't a save situation. He only threw seven pitches. And so he came in again today. And, you know, I know Anoli had thrown, I think like 21 pitches. And I think Christian Javier had thrown 25 pitches. But they weren't, it wasn't high stress innings. And so I think that's key too for the Astros. And I really think the Astros' success going forward into the ALCS, that it's even more important for them to clinch tomorrow today, if you're listening today on Wednesday, that you clinch it so that you have those extra days, so that you have days to recover, because you don't want to go to game four, game five, not just because of the drama, That's right. More pitchers you have to use, because the A's have used 12 relievers in the first two games. And they've used, of those 12, I think four of them were repeat, and they're throwing in high stressful innings. Now today, make note of it, the Astros didn't get a hit after the fifth inning. So let's hope that that trend doesn't continue, but high stress, low stress. Can you speak to that?
Well, so high stress, you know, look, every inning right now is high stress, right?
True.
I mean, even if these guys come out and throw seven innings, it's a high stress situation because it's everything's on the line. Now, what's the pitch count is very important, right? I mean, the stress level of runners on, no outs, you know, whatever, and you come into the game versus you having a clean start of an inning is no different in terms of pitch count, right? So if you go out there and you throw seven pitches in a high stressful situation, or you go out there and you throw seven pitches in a game where you're up 3 to 4 runs, it doesn't matter. In the playoffs, it's a zero. You got to pitch like every inning is runners on, no outs. You got to attack every pitch the same way. And, you know, that was one of the things, you know, coming in, especially in a close situation, you come in to close the game, you pitch it like you're closing a game. You come in when it's a non-close situation, you're not going to want out there and just getting in work. It's like you have to go out there with the same intensity. So I think from a stress level in terms of high or low, depending on the inning or what the game is looking like, I don't think it's really different. I think that going out in a low stressful, quote unquote, situation and give it and only throwing seven pitches is perfect, right? Because you got your work in, you're ready to go the next day. I mean, honestly, if you have pitchers going out there throwing under 10 pitches, getting three outs, those guys will be ready for 4 days in a row.
Yeah.
One of the Astros' best players in franchise history so far in the postseason has been George Springer. He had another big game. I know you talked about that earlier, two homers today, but he did lose track of a fly ball off of Chris Davis's bat. And Mike Fiers, I know that a lot of Astros fans do not like Mike Fiers right about now. I don't know
if why not?
So, but him and Mike Minor were actually mocking George Springer. Like they're doing the whole, I can't see it. And it's just a weird situation how that just explodes. But if we didn't have the whole Mike Fiers situation, I think nobody would probably notice, but since the spotlight is drawn to him, the reason why I bring this up is, do you think we'll see Mike Fiers in the series?
You know, I'll answer the first, or give you a thought on the first part, and then I'll give you the second part of the question. So to me, it's unprofessional, right? When I came up as a rookie, I had a very veteran ball club, right? And I mean, we had like Plesko, we had Hoffy, you know, just salty guys. We had Woody Williams, Greg Maddux, David Wells. You couldn't act like that, you know? And that's one of the things about the game that has changed. Even when me retiring, I never thought I'd be that guy to be like, the game's changed, but it has, because there's been a little bit of loss of some of that professionalism, and there's been a lot of dig me stuff and a lot of back and forth. And maybe it's the social media aspect being so prevalent and everybody having so much engagement with the players directly. But I don't like that personally. I think that if you talk to a lot of older guys, and even older guys than myself, they wouldn't appreciate something like that. I mean, look, in reality, you lost it in the sun, and it's not like you haven't gone out there and given up a bunch of dingers and winning. And you know what I mean? So it's like, nobody's ever above the game. And I can't stand that kind of stuff, to be honest with you. And it just kind of gives you another little notch in my book in terms of, what kind of character you're dealing with when you're talking about Mike. And I'll say it, because it's not professional. We're in the playoffs, things happen, lost it in the sun. It wasn't like he was just out there, not making a bad pattern on it or something like that, or not missing the ball. I mean, like, ball ended up going out. Right. Yeah. You know, so it's not like he dropped it or hit off the wall and it could have been caught. I mean, it was a home run. Maybe had a chance to rob it, but even in itself, even if it was tracking it, that's tough to do. So to do that just kind of speaks, I guess, a lot about the individual, you know. And yeah. As far as like the second part of that, you know, where if he's going to be in the series, I don't know. You know, Melvin said that, even during the season, it just kind of worked out that way. And I got to believe that if you're running out of pitchers or you're losing, I think everybody's on deck. So I think Houston fans would like to see that.
I would love to see, because we love hitting off at him. He's apparently very hittable. As long as he doesn't have pine tar in his hat to assist in a no hitter. Anyways, yeah. I digress. but seriously. So hey, I was gonna tell you. I didn't realize. This is kind of a personal caveat. I didn't realize you were a graduate from Pearland High School.
Very cool. I was raised out here, man.
And you know, that's cool. And I was going to ask you, do you ever recall a kid in the minor leagues from West Columbia, Jared Wells, a pitcher?
Jared Wells, one of my good buddies.
All right. Well, Jared Wells was in one of my youth groups when I was a youth pastor down in Brazoria.
Really?
I was looking at your bio and I was like, I think he probably knows Jared Wells. And I remember when Jared was in spring training, he's minor league pitcher of the year. And, you know, I mean, he had a tough road. I mean, you know, he made it, but he had a tough road with injuries and stuff. But you know, and using that to kind of caveat back into the conversation, you know, seeing all these injuries this year, 2020 to me has been a blessing and a curse. I think it's been a blessing in that we get baseball, that, you know, as a fan, we're greedy. We want to watch sports. But at the same time, it's almost been a curse. It's almost been like a bad thing, because there's been so many injuries to so many key players. And do you think the reverberations of this shortened season and the way these playoffs are just hyper speed, do you think we will feel the effects of that over the next couple of years? Or do you think like it'll just be a new season, kind of like we did, and just pick back up where we left off?
Okay, well, so first of all, I want to say Jared is like the salt of the earth, man. That guy's like a brother to mine. So you know, we actually, him and Molly and the kids lived with me in a house in Scottsdale when we were in spring training. Yeah. So very close to the guy. You know, recently he sent a picture of himself standing on the outfield wall. I guess apparently they had our pictures up at San Jack painted on the wall or whatnot. So
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. He's a beauty, man. I love that guy to death. And, you know, just want to say that about Jerry's class act guy. One of the injuries that he was dealing with was kind of new at the time, was whenever, you know, everybody had the kind of misplaced rib that was affecting the shoulder, and it was really tough to diagnose. And that's kind of where his issues were, because everything was just misdiagnosed until it almost was kind of too late. But he had some really good stuff. It was fun to watch him pitch. And we were teammates in the minor leagues for some time, as well in the big leagues. But so, yeah, cheers to Jared, man. Awesome guy. But, you know, going into the season, I mean, I feel like it's just been, you know, I feel like we're drinking baseball through a fire hose almost, right? I mean, there is some good aspects to it, but you know, there's a reason why there's 162 games on the schedule, believe it or not. And there's also a reason why spring training is as long as it is, because it is to get the pitchers ready. You know, it basically, the hitters to come in and they start swinging the stick, and, you know, they kind of start getting a feel for their swing pretty quickly. You know, for them, it's about getting conditioned about playing, you know, all the innings when you get towards the end. That's why you see the buildup going from guys starting the game and, you know, getting pulled after a couple ABs or one AB, into the transition towards the end of spring training after 6-7 weeks of it. You know, they're playing full games. You have pitchers going out and getting their innings stretched out. Spring training was short, right? And you know, I think there was a lot of unknown in terms of what was going to happen with the season in general. I mean, honestly, even when they had announced that there was going to be a season, there was actually some behind the scenes talk that maybe we jumped the gun, because the pandemic was starting to kind of spread pretty rapidly, and they didn't know if it was going to work out. But I think they kind of watched a little bit how the NBA was doing some things and kind of followed that in terms of keeping the health of the players. I mean, you know, I think they've done a really good job with what they were handed. I don't think it'd be something that's going to linger on for injuries. You know, I honestly just think that a lot of the injuries are due to players not having the time needed. Or that, you know, and it's not even necessarily that it's the time needed, but maybe the time that everybody's used to, their bodies are used to that. A lot of these guys have been doing this their entire life, especially professionally, maybe the last 5 or 6 years. So your body gets kind of accustomed to getting itself ready and understands it. I think everybody, just like yourself and most fans, was excited to get back on the field. You know, so I think there's a little level of, you know, rushing the bodies of the players to get ready, and the players rushing it themselves, but everybody wanted to get out there and play. I don't think it's going to be something that's going to linger too on, unless, you know, we're dealing with some major structural injuries, but it seems like a lot of it's just, you know, kind of rushed season, so to speak.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to probably get you back on because we have tons of questions, but let's go and do our predictions. I do want to say that I've called the homers for the past two games. On the game one, I said Carlos Correa would hit a homer, and he hit two. And I said in game two, Springer would hit a homer. He hit two. So I'm going to go ahead and go on that limb, and I'm going to go ahead and say it's Bregman's turn. I think Bregman's going to homer tomorrow and Springer as well. So we'll have to see what happens. But what do y'all think? Let's get our predictions for tomorrow's game or today's game if you're listening to this on Wednesday. I think – not. Let me listen to your prediction, Clay.
Look, I think that Houston's going to win this ball game. I think it's going to be a ball game. I think the score is going to be 6-2. Is where I think, and I think that it's a good pick on Bregman with that. Caught one in the forearm. Don't know how he's feeling. You know, I think that I like Springer going yaya again tomorrow. I think he's going to go deep. I'm going to call Springer on that one. He's going to hit a homer. I think we're going to see a great Urquidy. I think the bullpen's going to come shut it down. They're going to keep the momentum going. So yeah, 6-2. 6-2 is my call.
Okay, 6-2. All right. So we're going up Jesus Luzardo. He only lasted 3 1/3 innings against the White Sox. He gave up two home runs. So I'm gonna go with y'all on George Springer. I'm gonna go with you on Bregman, and I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm gonna say that Jose Altuve, Altuve is gonna come back, and he's gonna hit a home run. It may just be a solo shot, but he's gonna hit one out of Dodger Stadium, and I think the Houston Astros win 10-4 tomorrow. I'm gonna give them 10 runs. Wow. I like it. Yeah, I'm
just embarrassed.
Who's hit the 10 home run dinger?
Yes,
who's going to hit just the 10-run dinger?
Well,
it's off Mike Fiers. That's all I know.
Yeah. Hey, no,
yes.
Man, as long as
off Mike Fiers.
Hey, you know what? One thing I want to say real quick about Altuve is he is deadly at the plate, obviously, right? What I love about the guy is that even when he's not the one that's out there leading the offense or leading the stride, he doesn't take it into his defensive play. I mean, and that's one of the things I think that a lot of younger guys are watching as well.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, if the Astros do go on to the ALCS, it would be at the Padres Stadium, right? Or is it going to be at
Well, yes, you're absolutely right. I think it is at Petco.
So can we put a petition to keep it at Dodger Stadium so George Springer can keep on hitting home?
Yeah.
And, hey, the ball flies a little bit in Petco now, man.
And also, I just want to say this. Tomorrow, can we just stay in the visitor clubhouse? Because apparently the Dodgers and some of the Dodgers workers didn't want they were so glad that the A's were the higher seed because they didn't want the Astros in their dugout. Those horrible cheaters. But yet, you know, Mookie Cheaters Betts, I'm sorry, is on their team, but whatever. So let's just stay in the visitor's dugout. Let's call it, let's call it Dodger Stadium, but call it George Springer Field. And, you know, move on. I mean, let's just move on. Let's just kick butt and take names. I love Dodger tears. I love Dodger fan tears. It's just
Dodger dogs. You like Dodger dogs?
I hear they give you dysentery, but I
don't. Right? No, it's honestly, you want to get in and out of the LA locker rooms or kind of, you know, but at the same time too, you hear all the people maybe saying that they don't want this or that in the clubhouse, but I bet they like them clubhouse dues when they get paid. So, you know, it is what it is, right?
Would they make them switch locker rooms?
Absolutely not.
I don't think they would.
Okay.
I think it's just the home game just for the last at bat. And that could mean, I just don't see that happening. So my prediction, I think it is going to be kind of along with Clay said, 6-2, but I'm going to go ahead and go with 5-2. I just think that's... I think I said that yesterday, so I'm eventually going to get it right. But I just think the Astros have what it takes. And I think that them winning the series against the Twins, I think that really got them pumped up and they feel confident against, like you said earlier, Clay. So thanks for coming on. This was great.
Yeah.
And we'll hope to get you back on whenever you want to. And hopefully it's talking about Astros victory tomorrow and we going on to face the Yankees or the Rays. The Rays are up right now, and so they could be tying that series. So.
Well, they're up. Yeah, they're up 7-4. It'll be the Astros' fourth straight ALCS if they make it.
Yep, it'll be nice. And, look, I'm going to be on the West Coast at the end of the week, so maybe have to go and we'll do a little live shot or something from San Diego once Houston gets there.
Yes.
All righty. So, guys, you've been listening to the Locked On Astros podcast. Make sure you go check out my friend Sully over to Locked On MLB podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow and talking about the latest game. Thank you, and we'll talk to you later.